The other two hymns that we're going to soon sing, same thing. So for the other verses in these five songs, if they're not about Jesus' birth, what are they talking about? The other verses are not talking about a past Jesus, but about a future Jesus. Not God the Son taking on flesh and placed in a manger, but God the Son coming as king and to be seated on his throne on the earth. Many Christmas hymns start out focusing on the Lord's advent, his first coming. But did you realize that many Christmas hymns shift gears? That they change the focus to Christ's return? They change it to his second coming? So what did O come, Emmanuel say in the fourth verse? Bind all peoples in one heart and one mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. That verse is expressing a desire for the Lord's return. That's when our world will be peaceful, when the Prince of Peace is actually reigning on earth. I believe the Old Testament book of Isaiah refers at times to a future time when the Messiah is reigning on earth. Go ahead and look, and Vivian, would you turn that light off now? Go ahead and look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and then the beginning of verse 3. Now, it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. That's when all peoples will be in one heart and one mind. Isaiah continues, for the law will go out from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and will mediate for many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not lift up a sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. That's when the world will be filled with peace. Thou didst leave thy throne. Our second of the five songs starts out talking about the Lord Jesus leaving his throne alongside God the Father in order to start out his rescue mission on earth. But the last verse, that song's last verse, starts out when the heavens shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory. That coming victory before Jesus setting up his reign on earth, that's what Revelation chapter 19 is referring to. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. That's future victory. The next song that we sang was Angels from the Realms of Glory. Part of that last verse of the song says, suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. I believe that the author of that song, James Montgomery, was thinking of the very, very last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, in chapter 3, part of verse 1 and verse 2, says, and the Lord whom you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of armies. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? That's talking about the awesome second coming of Christ. So soon we're going to be singing two more songs like those three, and they too are just going to refer to Christ's birth in the very first verse, and then the verses after that, if you look at them closely, they're talking about not Jesus in the past, but Jesus in the future. And so like these three songs that we've sung so far, some of those, the two songs that we're going to sing, some of the lyrics have to do with Christ's return. We get so used to singing Christmas songs, Christmas hymns, and the lyrics, you know, just go right past us. I remember my first Christmas as a Christian. I just turned 17 about a month before. I'd only been a believer for about a half year, about 6 months. And when I heard, as a young Christian, those lyrics of those Christmas songs, it was like somebody had turned a switch on my head. I suddenly understood the meaning and the significance and the importance of those songs. But there are many Christians who sing these songs without really realizing the meaning of the words. Many of the most well-known traditional Christmas songs do refer to things of the past. They do refer to things connected to the first coming, to Advent. But those same classic songs refer often to things of the future, to do with Christ's return, connected to his second coming. Why might the authors of those songs have done that? I think it's because they wisely realized that it goes together. His first coming and his second coming, it all goes together. And it's okay for us at times to focus on maybe, you know, just the birth of Jesus or maybe just the death and resurrection of Jesus. But when we do, we need to realize, we need to keep in mind that there is a much bigger picture of which those events are a part. My wife, Vivian, and I lived outside the U.S. for a total of a decade. And we have traveled, we have seen cultures where there is a big emphasis on the baby Jesus, to the point where you kind of wonder, you know, is he still a baby today? But Jesus' humble birth, his horrible suffering and his death, his awesome resurrection, all those are part of God's overall plan for the ages. And it's a plan that existed before the world was even created. So as great and enjoyable as Christmas time is and as Easter is, when we celebrate those or any other particular religious holiday, we always need to keep in the back of our minds, this is part of something bigger. We need to teach our children, we need to teach our grandchildren, this is part of something bigger. And to be honest, when I think about that, celebrating Jesus' birth is part of something bigger, it makes me want to sing louder. So what is that bigger picture? What is this plan for the ages? You know, we could say, a lot of people might say it's something like the plan is to rescue as many people as possible, to save them, to rescue them as they put their faith in Christ. But more accurately, we would say that the plan is to show the greatness of Christ. And you could even make that wider and more broad and say that's really about showing the greatness of God. That's the bigger picture. That really is what Scripture and our lives are all about. So a person's salvation and their enjoyment of God forever, you know, that's definitely a part of that. The Apostle Paul sums up this bigger picture, I think, in Romans chapter 11, verse 36. So talking about God, this is what Paul says. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. So that's from the New American Standard Bible, and that's our Pew Bible. The same people that produced the New American Standard Bible have also produced something called the Amplified Bible. And this is where the editors have carefully added additional words. And they put them in brackets so you can recognize what they're adding. But they stick in these words in brackets to give a fuller understanding. So let me show you what the Amplified Bible does with this verse. See if it brings it out more to you. For from him all things originate, and through him all things live and exist. And to him all things directed. To him be glory and honor forever. Amen. So the plan for the ages is to show God's greatness. And Jesus' humble beginnings were a part of that. So knowing that's the case, how might we alter our celebrations at Christmas time? I have a few suggestions. I think if you talk about it as families, as friends, I think you could maybe come up with even better ones. One thing that we could do is each year make sure that we're reminding ourselves this is part of something bigger. And once we start to really get that in our heads, I think then that maybe we can start to have conversations with others about Jesus' birth or what the holiday is really about. Some of us like having those conversations. And you can ask somebody, no matter what their age, you know, just do it in a way that would make sense to them. Did you know that Jesus' birth is part of something bigger? And that could lead to all sorts of things. It could lead to conversations about God's plan through the ages to rescue people or to talking about how it's to show Christ's greatness or any of the great aspects of what's coming with Christ's return, the fact that there is going to be unity throughout the world, that ongoing war is going to be erased when he reigns on earth. And so our own thoughts is one area where we can start to adjust it based on these truths. Our conversations with another is another area where this can be changed, especially when we talk to kids and grandkids. And then I have one last suggestion. It's as you look, a lot of people like reading the Bible story, they like reading Bible passages during this time of year. Look at those passages in a new way. And here's the challenge. As you look at them, and it's there, as you look at those Christmas portions, look to see what verses and what descriptions have to do with Jesus' first coming, to do with Advent, with his taking on flesh, but then what parts have to do with his second coming when he returns. Understanding Christ's second coming is meant to fill us with hope. We can use hope right now. You know, we could just have one giant hope candle because a lot of people need hope right now. And that's not just world situations and the state of the U.S. or anything like that. It's really the fact that sad things can happen at Christmas time. And some of you are already aware of things like that. Sad things happening, don't take a holiday. But for anybody who's a believer in Christ, thinking about the Lord coming to earth and realizing that it's part of a bigger picture of his, that he's going to come and he's going to set things right, those are things that should give us constant hope. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 8 says, "You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." And this is what thoughts about the second coming are supposed to do to us. They're supposed to make us stronger on the inside. And thoughts about Christ coming the first time can help get that get started. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing our last song. Last song, excuse me, there are two of them. Now you know that of this group of five, that only the first verse is going to sing about that first coming, about Jesus in the past. See if you recognize now with the other verses that we sing after the first one, how these songs tell us about Jesus in the future. As you stand, go ahead and turn in your hymn books to 125.